I hope you guys are excited for this episode.
New year, new look, new page.
You about to kick your bitch?
You can sell this for $1 million, because I'm gonna be famous.
So when in doubt, you kiss Craig?
Most girls on the planet look like this. Did you flip a switch and erase me from your memory?
You just walked down on a date with one of the grass's coolest girls for your mom's pasta sauce.
You gave me a social disease.
Taste the lines of your paisley jacket.
Hey, fellow Degrassi holes, and welcome to Last Shift at the Dot. Here we'll discuss Degrassi, the Next Generation, from beginning to end, talking about the episodes, the characters, the actors, and the drama. We're going to give you what you came for. Who here is ready to do whatever it takes?
I am.
Yay. I am.
Is drinking whatever it takes?
I feel like you guys could be a little more enthusiastic about again. Who here
okay.
needs to do whatever it takes?
Me!
I am yes! so ready. I'm gonna do it all.
First of all, this is the first recording in a long time where the gang is all together. We've all been traveling a lot. Unfortunately, it's an episode with our favorite combination of a Ashley A plot and a Toby B plot that the writers kept insisting on doing for the first few seasons of Degrassi.
So but does that make them like step plots?
Yes, step plots. I think this is also one of the last times they acknowledge that they are step siblings, and then like we never see them together again, really.
Oh yeah, because they have the dinner scene, which
yeah, the dinner scene. But before we get started, we're gonna go around and have each of you introduce yourselves, and the question of the week is: name a popular or beloved song that you like even less than the Ashley song that this episode starts with. And I'm really hoping for some hot takes for this one.
You said a beloved. Okay.
Like a beloved or a popular song that everyone likes okay. that you would listen to less than this fucking Ashley song that the episode starts with. And I could start if you want. I'm Nina. I'm your host. I think this may make someone on this call mad, but I hate the song Single Ladies by Beyonce, and I shut it off every time. She has other stuff that's better. So that's the song I would not listen to.
That is an iconic song, and I like it a lot. I think it's really fun.
I just can't. That one and Uptown Funk by Bruno Mars. I like cannot stand either of those songs. Love the people, hate those two songs.
You don't even really like Bruno Mars. You just acknowledge he's a good performer, but you say you hate his music.
I do hate most of his music, yes. Sorry.
I think he's more annoying now that he's like trying to be like your rich uncle, and I hate it. So.
Yeah.
If he's my rich uncle, is he going to start paying for things?
No, you don't pay him for the joy of listening to his.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm Perino, and I've recently discovered a joy of watching Lana Del Rey when having two bottles of wine. Sorry, listening to Lana Del Rey while having two bottles of wine. But there are a few of her songs that are very similar to the Ashley song in the beginning of this episode, and they definitely make me feel the same way,
mm-hmm.
if not worse.
Oh. I can go next. So I'm Natasha, and I feel like no one on this call really cares about these songs anyway, but they were really, really big. One of them is freaking Capital Cities, Safe and Sound. I absolutely hate that song so much.
I remember you hated that song.
It enrages me. And another one was, I think it was, so ironically, now I listen to him and I'm embarrassed of it. But I believe it was Machine Gun Kelly's first song with Camila Cabello. Anyone remember that song?
Yes, oh, I remember
yes.
it.
Yeah,
it's really bad.
What was the name of it?
Bad things, like I want to do bad things to you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so bad. And I don't know how that shit made it on the radio.
I mean, if it's not good, Charlotte, I don't know.
Yeah.
The only rock band that matters.
Well, I'm Morgan. Hi. I'm laughing because initially the first song, and I love her, but the first song I thought of was Single Ladies as well. Huh. Hate the song. Hate the song. It's so annoying.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought, like, because I know you're a big Beyonce fan, but I'm just like, of all of her singles,
it's the worst.
That's the one that took off.
That's a skip.
Not the best. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm Stefan. Hey, y'all. What's up? And while I'm sure this is a surprise to no one, my absolute arch rival, not arch rival, because I'm better than him, but I fucking hate Sam Smith, and Stay With Me is perhaps the song that just angers me to no fucking end. Like, if it's on, I turn off the radio and I, like, throw it across the room. I hate that shit so much.
And that's not everywhere for a while, like every remix, I hated it. Well, Natasha started this story that Sam Smith was like my favorite and like perpetuated for a while because I really like Sam Smith Cider. That was like one of the first ciders that I really loved. So Natasha just somehow turned it into the myth that I love Sam Smith.
It's like,
oh shit.
It's like Natasha with Ed Sheeran. She loves Ed.
Yeah.
Oh God.
That's her buddy.
Yeah, I loved when my mom was super into that Bad Habit song.
Oh God.
And she just had it replaying on her iPad. And one time her iPad was in the bathroom just replaying that, and I was on the toilet and I was so pissed. I was like, I have to listen to this song.
Okay.
While I'm on the toilet.
There's nothing worse than getting pissed when you're in the middle of a good dump.
Speaking of dump, this episode on her beloved keyboard, surrounded by candles and velvet, and Stefan's background right now, it looks like Dracula's lair, and she is singing maybe one of her worst songs that she's sang on this show. And they cut to Jimmy. So Jimmy's now in her room, and I guess the implication is they're back together, and she's singing this funeral dirge of a song, and he looks increasingly terrified.
Yeah.
When she ends the song, she goes on and on about how they've reconnected and they're rediscovering each other and how did he like the song. And Jimmy just kind of is giving her one word answers, as Jimmy usually does, because he just does not know how to approach this girl right now. But we do learn that they are back together. And I guess this happened at that party that Jimmy threw, or after that party.
I have two things to say. Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, you first.
So this is the second time Ashley has played a song and like had someone just stare like in misery.
Yeah.
Like, it's like Terry all over again. And this song is so bad that they have the gall to bring it back later, like an instrumental. I'm like, it's not that song. I was mad at that.
Yeah.
Dude, this song is like, this is the epitome of who Ashley is. She is a condescending know-it-all. And the lyrics of this, I don't remember exactly what they were now because I was full of hate, but they were very much along the lines of like, basically, Jimmy, I see you, and like, I see who you really are underneath it all. And then she comes to him like, this song is about us and about how we're reconnecting, when what it actually is Ashley basically saying, nothing was ever my fault.
Yeah.
It's like who we are, like we keep coming back to each other and like two souls that are like bonded or some dumb shit. And then it's just like weird because you can totally tell she's way more into it than he is. Like, I feel like he's kind of like, I really like her, like let's see where this goes, but I'm not 100% like I was. And she's like, we're back together. It's just like last year, everything's great. And like, I feel like the whole episode she keeps referring to like just like last year, or like my boyfriend from last year. And I'm like, you're living in the past, but you're trying to live in the future. I don't know.
You make a good point. Like, she is bringing up the old days, but then when he like kind of mentions things about it too, she gets pissed off at certain things. So I'm just like, damn, maybe he can like both versions of you.
Well, she kind of,
or neither. Like,
in this beginning scene, she also kind of brushes off what she did last year, which was cheat on Jimmy. She was just like, oh, well, last year happened. And I was like, bitch, you like cheated on him. So like, he's kind of in the right to be reluctant about you, I guess, right now.
And she also didn't apologize for like fucking 3-4 months. Like, you cheat on someone and then you consistently don't ever bring up the fact that you fucked up. God, I hate Ashley.
So that's the first 60 seconds of this episode already. So after the credits, we're at school. Ashley's like doing her eyeliner even darker than it already is. Like, there's just no more space for eyeliner, but she's still going. And Jimmy approaches her and they're talking about like blah blah blah, when this kid Sully, who will feature in other episodes for a while, he kind of just comes into play whenever something's awry. He comes by them, calls Ashley a freak show, and tells Jimmy, thanks for dating the creepy girl from Leaving the Hot Ones
for us.
This guy's an asshole.
Which is a terrible thing to say, but it was kind of funny.
He gives me like knockoff Peter vibes.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
He's straight Peter, since Peter's apparently bisexual.
Great value, Peter.
Oh, God. But no, so here's my thing. Like, Ashley, I think she relished in that so much. Mm-hmm. She's just one of those girls who's like, I want to be oppressed so that I can talk about how I was oppressed. Yeah. And so even though this happened for 15 seconds, and it's probably maybe happened 4 or 5 times throughout the course of the entire year, cut to Ashley at 25, like, yeah, I can talk about the Trevor Project because I was bullied too.
God. Spot on.
Yeah, I think it definitely kind of gave her, set her soul on fire. Like, she was just kind of like giving him the eyes, like after he defended her, you know what I mean? Like, she was like, this shit, I love this. And then
Jimmy kind of says maybe the worst thing you could say, which is, if they knew how beautiful you were on the inside.
That was bad.
It was bad. I was like, I hate Ashley, but even she didn't deserve that.
I was entertained. I think it's just funny the whole time. I'm like, damn, she didn't, like, that's rough, but he keeps missing the mark on this one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. That's like when you're a fat kid and your parents are like, oh, well, you have such a pretty face.
She has a pretty face. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You have such a pretty face.
You're so beautiful on the inside, Ashley, and someday people will see that.
It was hilarious. Doesn't
this convince you guys?
I think her outside looks better than her inside, to be honest.
I mean,
for sure.
Doesn't this convince you guys how stupid these archetypes were when for our generation? Like, that's, if there's anything to say positive about the new generation, it seems like these aren't exactly big things. Like, you're a jock, you're a goth. Like, they blended a bit more from, you know, my proximity to youth as a teacher. And it's crazy that, like, later in this episode when she like puts on different clothing, it's like, gosh, you're so attractive now, you preppy.
Wow. She just doesn't hang out with Ellie anymore. Like, she's in the group. I was like, can't she still
be with Ellie? That I get. Okay, and Ellie brings me down.
Well, she's like lurking on the edge, though. She's like, listen, like, haven't heard that.
She,
like,
was?
She was like sitting there on the curb. They're like, okay.
Totally didn't notice her. And I was like, damn, she just dropped Ellie. LOL.
I don't even know, like, who brings down your attractiveness level more. Like, you were an 8 out of 10, but then whether it's Emma versus Ellie, like, Ellie brings you down to a 5 and Emma creeping in the corner is a 3.
The B plot of this episode begins with JT and Toby super fucking excited because Dr. Sally is here and they're gonna get the sex talk. Like, these kids, they're like turned on by the prospect of a sex education class. Like, that's how nerdy these dorks are. They realize
slightly elderly woman.
I'm saying. It's like they are turned on by her. Like, they want her JT to tell them because she's talking about sex. Like, literally because she's just talking about sex. Like,
JT's got grandma issues.
Yes, he does. Yeah,
that's true.
Oh.
Because he was very, like, really upset about it. And I was
want
like,
Sally.
Yeah.
Believe that.
Sorry.
Term gerontophile?
Geriatrophile?
Octogenariophile? No, she's not that old. But when
I'm Googling this. I'm Googling this now.
Don't look for images. I made that mistake.
Please don't.
Gerontophilia.
Gerontophilia. Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the word gerontophile was coined in 1901 by psychiatrist, I can't talk today, Richard von Krafft-Ebing.
So because JT is a gerontophile, mm-hmm. he's very upset that Mr. Armstrong is giving the sex talk today.
That answers the question, right? Like, is he turned on by the content or by the person giving it? It's clearly the person giving it.
It's the person.
Mr. Armstrong's quite more attractive than Dr.
Yeah.
I mean, Mr. Armstrong could get it.
So Mr. Armstrong's talking about birth control, various methods of birth control. He says that the best method is still abstinence, which Manny needed defined for her because, of course,
found that funny.
But like, JT even goes so far to raise his hand and be like, we'd be more comfortable if Dr. Sally was showing us all of this, and proceeds to like fling a condom on Mr. Armstrong while his back is turned. This teacher deals with too much, basically. Mm-hmm.
That's mm-hmm. That teacher deals with too much. Look at this shit in my history class. Okay.
Yeah, you're ready to slap the shit out of kids.
Derek a few times, but yeah.
I mean, deserves it.
Yeah. Well, Derek is probably one of the worst kids on that show. Like, I'm surprised Perino didn't hit him.
I mean, is there a not worse kid on this show besides Manny? And Terry.
Oh, Sully.
Team Sully.
Oh, Sully. I forgot he existed.
Yeah.
He got to date Manny when she first got hot.
Like, yeah.
I mean, he's literally in this episode.
And then he also buys Jimmy's MP3 player from Spinner.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
That plot line.
Oh, my gosh.
More to come. So I downloaded this and a bunch of episodes to watch on the plane. And Lord, some of the shit's just fucking painful. It is so painful just to be like, just how are Jimmy and Spinner friends? Spinner is a horrible friend.
We ask that all the time. I don't get it.
I was like, do they like each other? They're never nice to each other. Same with Toby and JT. I'm like,
it's not reciprocal. It's
codependent. But I can kind of see it with Jimmy and Spinner because it seems like they've been friends for a long time. But like Toby and JT just went to camp together.
Yeah.
They ditched him.
And I mean, think but like terrible to JT.
I also don't know. Yeah, exactly. I don't know why any of them are friends, to be honest. Yeah. Like even Emma and Manny, except for that one episode, I just don't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. It's like every friendship, there's someone who needs to walk away from it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like not serving.
It's abusive friendships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, and they preyed on us as children because this is what we thought friendship was back then.
Exactly. Like Terry and Ashley until she kind of drops her. I'm like
Terry and Ashley, even like Hazel and Paige sometimes. And Paige.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think. Is it like a good friendship on the show at all? You know, Craig and Marco.
I thought it was Imogen and Fiona, but they certainly changed that one.
Yeah. Marco and Jimmy were also like
Marco and Jimmy were pretty good.
I feel like they were good friends and they kind of
Marco was actually pretty good like friends with everyone except for Ellie, because that was weird
and they until they like
completely fucked it up in the Hollywood episode.
Yeah, what the
fuck that up, and they fucked it up in another episode that I don't want to talk about that right now. God. So back to the A plot. We're in this one class. They're finishing a video of Taming of the Shrew, and Spinner points out that there's no jokes and he doesn't understand why it's a comedy and, you know, he's stupid. But she says that's actually a good point because she has an assignment for them, which is they are all going to be paired up and do like an interpretation of one of the scenes of Taming of the Shrew.
Okay, I'm just gonna theater nerd moment. Taming of the Shrew really isn't that funny.
No.
In the grand scheme of like Shakespeare's comedies, if anything, it's more of like a biting satire on like gender roles. And Miss Kwan's like, it's one of Shakespeare's greatest comedies.
Yeah.
Like Kwan, usually I support you, but in this, I'm like, did you read it?
Yeah, she's phoning this one in.
I feel like it's because you see so many people who focus on like the physicality of it all to make it a comedy and not actually what is being said. And like they're like, you know, like, you will be my Catherine and all this shit. And usually, like, she's like falling over him or like toppling in his arms and like slipping and doing stupid shit. But it's not a comedy. It's like mad toxic.
It's fucking abusive. It's an abusive relationship.
I think I saw it in Central Park once and I felt exactly the same. I was like, why the hell am I here? Oh, it was a workouting too. Yeah. Why the hell am I here? This is,
it's great, bro, isn't it?
Yeah. I think most modern interpretations of it are very, you know, not a comedy. The closest we get to a comedy, and this is honestly what Miss Kwan should have shown, was 10 Things I Hate About You. Because that came out by now, right?
Yeah, I think that was out by then.
Yeah, just go to Blockbuster, Kwan.
But well, Miss Kwan pairs Hazel with Jimmy and Craig with Ashley. And she initially, yeah, she does, because she's playing Cupid right now. But Craig and Ashley decide that they both realize this is a much darker story than the comedy it's made out to be. And they want to show the abusive side of it. So a good pair. For now.
Don't tell Manny.
They're both kind of beating around the bush with each other, and they're both like, oh, you want to turn this dark too. Okay.
He wanted to put those glasses on it.
Telling you, the glasses, it's like dwarf. And I was like, ooh.
You know what? Okay. For all the shit I give the writers on this podcast, that was a good touch. That was a really good
touch. Yeah. Before we get to that, we have to first discuss JT and Toby at lunch. And
Do we have to?
I mean, I can make it really cool. Well, ugh, God. So basically, it's after lunch. JT won't shut the fuck up about Dr. Sally not being there. And Toby is like, I don't understand how condoms work. JT is like, I'm not giving you a demonstration. And Toby's like, what I really mean is, when are you supposed to get them? Blah, blah, blah. And JT, this dumbass, is like, no time like the present. We should have some. Let's go to the store after school, which is, they go to the drugstore, buy a shit ton of condoms that they're never going to use, including a box of glow in the dark ones. And then they start like lightsaber dueling and, you know, just really showing that these kids are not ready to have sex.
Exactly.
Whatever.
Oh, thought. What if JT did keep all of these condoms for years and years, and the one that he used is the one that he got Liberty pregnant with because it was expired?
I was thinking probably about what happened. Because I was like, these kids don't know that you can't keep condoms forever.
Yeah. Forever, yeah. Yeah. I definitely laughed when JT got the ribbed ones and was like, ribbed, what does that mean? And then what's his face? Toby just goes like, for her pleasure. No idea. I'm like, you don't have any idea.
Yeah.
Classic 1990s straight men.
Ribbed. I have no idea what that means.
for her pleasure? Ooh. No idea. I'm like, damn.
Question for the group. When did you buy your first condoms?
Oh, hell no.
I can't even remember. Like, I'm sure it was Walmart. You know, it's just like, let me get these.
I feel like in college there were just so many free ones everywhere.
I'm like, I just remember taking all of the free shit I could because I was broke. So
I don't think I bought condoms till I was like maybe 24.
Yeah.
That was my first time. And then that was only once, and then I've never had to again because there are always free condoms. Dear listeners, there are always free condoms. There are
always free condoms. Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm. And so you'll be able to find some.
Most of them haven't been used.
Ones that are not old as shit, like the ones JT used and impregnated Liberty.
Yeah,
don't.
I think it was like probably one of those glow in the dark ones he kept for 5 years. Mm-hmm. Back at school, Ashley runs into Jimmy at the locker, and she sees, and I don't know why this becomes such a pivotal thing in this plot, but it does. She sees an old picture of herself in Jimmy's locker. From, I guess, grade 9 or grade 8. And it's when she was like preppy and all of that. And she says, that is disgusting. You need to take it down. And he's like, no, you look cute. And they kind of have this little tension over the picture before she's like, well, whatever. You're coming to dinner later because Jeff is making burgers and craft dinner, which sounds amazing right now.
Good to know that they're still they still got their thing, Jeff and Kate.
They still got craft in it. Yeah. But
dishwasher.
Kate was not making wings that night. She was too busy to make wings.
Well, she's like, Jimmy's coming back. Like, I have to cook for this kid now too. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Wings are expensive. I can't do that many.
Didn't we tell her staying over too many times?
Yeah.
It was just a basket of burgers on that table though. Like, I can't get over it. Like, oh, just grab a burger from the basket, the burger basket. Like,
good concept.
It is. So they're at dinner at the Kerwin Isaacs residence and like they're passing around the food and stuff. And Ashley decides to ask Toby, because it's like their last time ever interacting, did Dr. Sally or whatever hand out condoms today? Toby's like visibly flustered. He's like, what? That's none of your business. All of that. And it begins this little debate, this kind of after school special debate about whether or not you should hand out condoms to kids. Jeff is of the opinion that you should not. It encourages sex. Kate, because she's queen, says they're going to have sex anyway and disagrees. And then Ashley does the Ashley thing of insisting that Jimmy needs to have an opinion on this very topic at the dinner table with her parents.
Yeah, let's talk about this. Your boyfriend, you're asking your boyfriend in front of your parents whether he, I mean, like, what did you think was going to happen?
And seriously, he's about to eat. Like, what do you want? I'm hungry. Like, I don't care. I don't care.
Oh, the last time they did Shakespeare, Ashley and Jimmy were, it was also an Ashley Jimmy episode that also dealt with condoms.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why I felt deja vu. Okay, I couldn't understand. Mm-hmm. I was like, I swear I've seen and talked about this before.
But yeah, no, we're not. Why are you talking about condoms in front of your parents? Ashley, that's fucking weird. Also, why are you trying to have a fight that's like, you're a 45-year-old couple who've fallen out of love with each other 10 years ago. Like,
yeah,
I
mean, it's funny to see.
Oh. No, go ahead.
I was just saying, it's funny to see how like Kate and Ashley like align and how like Jeff and then like Toby's like, oh my gosh, no. It's just like funny to see. You see that divide in how the families, the blended family is by the parents and how they, it's interesting.
And I stand by like, I think Jimmy's answers were as smart as they can be when you're in front of your girlfriend's parents. Like, I think the first
kind of
waffling, or like he's not noncommittal, and then she forces him or something, right? Like she's like, he's like, you have to have some opinion, and so he's like, I'll go with the conservative dad.
Who's right.
Like, what are you gonna say? I'm gonna fuck your daughter? Like, no.
Yeah.
Definitely rude to do it. Like, if you like have a talk with him after dinner, like if it means that much to you to get into this opinion, but and then in front of the whole family, she's like, I wish I didn't have to drag it out of you. Like,
yeah, that was also really shitty. And I was just like, what is her deal? Like, they just got back together. Why is she trying to start a fight? But whatever.
I'm not quite sure. Like, since you did mention it happened off screen, I'm not quite sure what made them even get back together, because like there's nothing, if I were Jimmy, that I would see in this girl right now.
That's why I feel like he's kind of like, okay, like we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
maybe I can get her to dress preppy again.
Well, at school the next day, back to the B plot, sorry. Toby and JT are like at their shared locker or whatever the fuck, and Toby gives JT all of the condoms and says like, I don't want to deal with this. Like, he's like unnecessarily really pissed off at JT. I don't know what his deal is. Spinner is walking down the hall and he's trying to recite lines from like the play or whatever, and he's fumbling because he's Spinner. And I was a little surprised that JT had the balls to make fun of Spinner, because I was like, bro, you're like half his size. Why are you making fun of him for not knowing how to read? So Spinner throws him against the locker and sees all the condoms drop out.
I took this differently. I took this as like a really shitty writing cliche where JT realized that if he pissed off Spinner, he would get knocked into the locker and then the condoms would fall.
I didn't think
bragging, like, yeah, I got condoms.
Yeah, yeah, because like, he knew that the girls were coming. Oh. And like, he has this like stupid shitting and grin on his face. And it's like he knows it's going to happen, but it's so unrealistic and kind of after school special that
I can see that.
Yeah.
No, I can see that, because Manny and Emma walk by conveniently right as this is happening. And Spinner is like insisting that these are JT's condoms, and JT is like, no, they're not, and kind of insinuates they're Toby's, and Spinner makes the connection then that that means Toby is going to have sex with Kendra. So he storms off. Oh God. Sorry.
Kendra, 12 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's in grade 7 and they're in grade 8.
How old is Toby? 13, 14?
13.
13. 14. They're 1 year apart.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, I guess. Ugh.
Whatever. Yeah. Ew. Just ew. Just ew.
Manny was so disgusted by that. She's like, that means they're Toby's. Ew. Like, that was a mean girl moment, and I loved it.
Yeah, Manny does not want to imagine Toby having sex with anyone.
Oh, that means someone touches Toby?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I really don't want to talk about this. But anyway, Ashley's outside of her locker trying to take a picture of herself in her goth getup.
Her little selfie.
Craig comes by and he's like, hey, do you want me to take it? Blah, blah. He's kind of flirting with her. Like, he's been flirting with her a lot this episode and kind of says, like, I'll take it for you. Looks good. Blah, blah. And Ashley gives it to Jimmy and says, hang this in your locker. Jimmy puts it next to the old picture and she's like, it's supposed to replace the old picture. And Jimmy's like, well, the more pictures of you, the better. And Ashley does what she did at the dinner table yesterday and is like, no, tell me which one you like better, and like dragging it out until he finally is like, I like the old one better.
I found it almost sweet or endearing that he was really trying to spare her feelings throughout all of this. Like, that makes me feel like he does like her for, even though he says stupid shit, he does like her for who she is. And because some people would be like, oh, you don't look like you used to, I'm done with you. And he hasn't been like that at all. He's never done anything to make her, other than saying the dumb shit, but like, yeah, I don't know. I thought it was sweet that like, as a teenager, he was still kind of like, I like you, yeah, and I support your choice in dressing how you want to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the way she just acted in this episode, it just made me feel rubbed me the wrong way. Cause I was like, I don't think Jimmy did anything that bad to humiliate him and make him feel garbage. I was like,
fuck around and find out. She fucked around.
Don't ask questions you don't want the answer to.
Thank you.
I agree with you. I agree that that Jimmy's kind of acting more mature than a 14-year-old boy would in this situation. And I think there's some level of him realizing that this is all reactionary. She's just goth because of all the shit that happened last year with E and all that stuff. This isn't, this is just he realizes it's just a phase. And so I don't know.
Okay, so here's the thing where they agree with both of you wholeheartedly. Mm-hmm. Jimmy is not the bad guy in this episode. Mm-hmm. But the way the episode is framed, I think the writers were trying to make him seem like the bad guy, and it's not working. They tried to make him seem like he's, taming, she's the shrew and he is taming her. But he never asks her to make any changes. He never says, he never actively says shit about her shitty music or her unnecessary I'm doing goth for attention looks.
Yeah.
She's the one who is constantly trying to push him to say he doesn't like it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Cause he was the one when he brought the yearbook for her to sign, which I was Steven. But she was like, oh my God, who was this? And he's like, oh, you look good. And he's like, you look good now. Like, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Both of it is fine.
Yeah.
And hanging the two pictures, I was like, let him hang two pictures of you.
I think that's sweet.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Take a third.
I don't think he's malicious in this episode. I think, you guys said, I think he actually just likes Ashley for whatever fucking reason, as a person. I think he's more reactive. Wings. That he's a jock and he's kind of a conformist, so he may not be comfortable with the reactions she's getting because she is calling attention to herself. This is all her. She's not trying to blend in. She's trying to get people to bully her. She's trying to get this elicit a reaction, and I feel like he's more uncomfortable with that, even though he doesn't really have a problem with how she dresses.
It's like that classic you don't like me because I'm punk or goth or prep. No, you're just an asshole.
You're just doing it for attention. You're not really this isn't an authentic like thing for you. And I think he's, like you said, he's picking up on that, and she's just making it more uncomfortable for herself. So
I mean, whatever. It's kind of apparent with what she does next. Like, it's mm-hmm. just she's just doing whatever she thinks other people want her to do instead of doing what she should.
And that's a great point that Stefan made, is that I'm often convinced that the writers are a lot younger than I think they are, because when I was like watching this 2 decades ago, I definitely felt, oh, Jimmy is such a bad guy for making her conform, he's yep. teaming the shrew, like, but now I'm watching as a very old man and I'm like, oh,
we're not the target audience, that's why. So we're thinking about the parents, we're not thinking about this as kids, because definitely as kids too I'm like, how dare he change her, like yeah. I definitely get into that.
God, fucking children. Dear children of the world, I'm gonna need y'all to be smarter with what you watch, smarter than yeah. we were when we were your age.
They're not.
Like, kids are like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They don't even watch full episodes of shit anymore. They just watch TikTok. So they're
exactly
definitely dumber.
Yeah. Like, dancing. Dude, shit.
One of my friends, he's a youngin', he watches everything at 2x speed.
Yeah, 2x is reserved for like a very few things, lectures and mandatory corporate mm-hmm. training.
Yeah, this is like a podcast I can see, like, if you're able to understand that for some reason, like people talking faster, but
watching, I mean, I only use it for YouTube cooking videos.
Yeah,
yeah,
that makes sense.
The 17 minutes of how, like, well, back when I was a young kid growing up in the Alps,
I don't want to waste 35 minutes to watch your full fried chicken recipe.
My kids love these. I just pop them in the oven.
They always say that.
Yeah, I'm like,
it's never actually like they just pop it in the oven. There's like,
no, I'm like fucking rolling dough. Yeah, like what?
You know, Jeffrey's coming home this weekend, so I figured I'd just make something quick and simple, like a roast chicken
and Kraft mac and cheese.
You know, this is why I guess they decided to have Jeff cook more in the Kerwin Isaacs household, because Jeff just put together some fucking dry ass burgers and some Kraft dinner, and he's like, all right, burger basket, Kraft dinner, I got a bag salad and put it in a bowl. 15 minutes.
That's the best thing
Jeff has ever done. Like, that's the only good thing Jeff has ever done.
That meal.
I bet you he fucked up the Kraft dinner too. I bet you he fucked up the Kraft dinner.
You think it was like a little,
Jeff, honey,
like
it's
watery. Like, it was a little watery.
The noodles weren't cooked all the way.
Oh no. I think it was like he didn't mix it well enough, so there are little clumps of cheese powder in there.
Oh, he didn't use definitely. All of the cheese powder, he just used like half. He's like, I didn't know I was supposed to use it all, and it's like, or he didn't drain the water either. It's just like, put it in there.
That reminds me of when I was very young, like 5 decades ago, one of the male members of my family tried to make tacos but wasn't sure what the meat component was, so they took like a sausage and cut it into tiny pieces and then took Kraft American cheese and shred it.
Oh no.
It's like a taco seasoning.
Do we need to call CPS? Because it sounds like abuse. I mean, the 1950s, they didn't even have brown people.
Yeah.
They didn't exist. It's true.
You know, there was no Central and South American cuisine. They didn't know what tacos were.
Didn't even have poutine back there in Toronto growing up.
No.
Are you a Gerontophile or a Torontophile?
Oh,
I've been holding on to that one for
all our OnlyFans to find out.
Yeah, you wrote that one.
Okay, so later that day, like, this A plot is really exhausting. There's a lot.
Wait, can I say one more thing? I think this Gerontophile thing puts a new spin on Sorry to Bail Grandma in Jail.
Oh my, is that what Grandma went to jail for?
Later on, Ashley's at home, she's sitting in her bedroom, conflicted, and like, she's barefaced for once, and like, you're seeing all of her stuff, and she comes to school the next day dressed like her old self. And she's like ducking in the hallways, looking really insecure. And she goes into the classroom and everyone is like shocked. Like, Spinner is like, oh my God, you're alive. And Jimmy, you know, says something. And then Ellie says something too. Like, basically no one is making her comfortable with this change. Ellie says that she looks tame, which Shut up, Ellie. Whatever. I never like Ellie's comments.
I thought that she was the one who like drove them to break up that fucking comment. Like, I think they could have stayed together a bit, but hearing that word tamed and then their assignment, she's like, he's trying to tame me. And I was like,
how dare he? Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think he was trying to do that.
Yeah, doesn't she shit on Ellie too? Where she's like, well, this is what I was anyway.
Yeah, like before I met you, this was me.
Yeah, she says something like that. But again, like Jimmy never asked her to stop dressing like that. He just, when she kept pushing, admitted that he likes the old version better.
But I feel like she was mad that he was even like, wow, Ashley. Like he was like, wow. And yeah, that made her mad that he had that reaction. I guess she wanted him to be like, you were beautiful before. Like you're always gorgeous, or I don't know.
Right.
So yeah. Like, I will say, this is probably the best look Ashley's had in the entirety of the show. Like the short hair, when it's not, you know, horribly styled, is actually like, it's a good look on you, Ashley Kerwin. It's a good look.
Well, okay. Now we're in the media immersion room, and this scene like goes on way longer than it has to, because Spinner is terrorizing Toby and JT via like whatever Degrassi instant messaging program they have at school. And the boys get spooked and they run out, and like they're running away from Spinner, who is chasing them now. And right when Toby thinks he escapes Spinner, Kendra comes out of nowhere, pushes him into a locker and says, how old am I? What grade am I in? And then calls him a pervert, which is probably her best moment too.
Yeah, she was great in that scene. Mm-hmm. I was dying.
I still don't understand why they dropped her. I mean, or at least they could have given her more plot lines when she was on.
They really could have.
I think the reason that, one of the many reasons, or not the many reasons, but one of the reasons that it was hard for them to keep Kendra going was because Kendra was the year younger, and they didn't focus on anyone from that year till like, what, season 6 maybe? Oh, no. When did Danny and Derek come in? Season 4?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Like
it wasn't like one of the first plot lines with Jimmy. Jimmy being in a wheelchair was because like he was still trying to
come. Oh, yeah. So that's a while.
That's like where I think we first met Derek.
And that's the first time that's the only time after, you know, RIP Kendra and Nadia, that we see anyone in a grade younger than like Emma's class.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. And if they would have had more people in that, I think it would have been easier to keep Kendra on, but she basically only turned into a device for certain Toby or Spinner plots.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wait, was Nadia in their class or in Emma's class?
Nadia
in Kendra's class.
Oh, she was okay. But yeah, I mean, look, it's Nadia. I just doesn't have.
This is your student. You should know what grades are in.
Yeah, you know. You know.
And that is why the wolf is our friend.
They come and go, and they come and go, and they're all fucking forgettable.
But yeah, Kendra deserved more. Like, she was a girl with a backbone. She didn't take no shit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She stood up for herself. She advocated for herself.
She's 12.
Good for Toby. Mm-hmm. Good for Toby.
I feel like Spinner was definitely a good big brother. Like,
mm-hmm. I mean, Spinner, for all of his shit, I was texting this to y'all earlier. Like, Spinner respects women. He's just a dick. Like, he's a horrible friend and an idiot, but he respects women for the most part.
The bar is low. The bar is fucking low.
I mean, the bar is very low on this show, though. Like,
yeah,
he respects women. Like, wow,
he's just, you know, he's like a good big brother.
He's good.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just
a good big brother.
A lot of girls with like really strong personalities who are smarter than him, and he just kind of defers to them. Like,
he knows he's not smart.
Yeah. So,
which is good. That's,
yeah, that's... He says, honestly, I agree. He says a lot of progressive stuff. I mean, minus the misery he causes, he says a lot of progressive stuff that like I don't associate with teenage boys from that era, like not really caring about body size and, you know, all the reassurance he gives to, you know, Terry, and what I think he does well for Paige during her plot line and what's coming up. So that's a good point. Mm-hmm. So
and again, then like and then like even going ahead to like Darcy, you know, like he respected like her religion and her views, and like, you know, I'm not gonna try and pressure you to have sex. And when Darcy was like about to put out for him, he was all like, no, wait, this isn't like you. Are you okay? Mm-hmm. Not like most teenage boys who would have been like, yeah,
let's do it.
Let's get going.
Let's go. Mm-hmm. Vroom, vroom, motherfucker.
That's, so that's his only word.
That was vroom, so vroom. Country.
Is this a story about you and a teenage boy going vroom,
no,
vroom?
No, no, no. I've just been drinking wine, so sometimes my accents go all over the place. Motherfucker.
I thought this was like a Vanga Boys reference or something.
No.
It's all good.
Natasha was like, let's get it going, or whatever you said, and that's the first thing.
Let's get it on.
Get the party started, Pink.
Mm-hmm. But you're right, Stefan, like I always like how he dealt with that too. Mm-hmm. Don't think he needed to become a virgin again, but at least that provided some laughs later on.
It did. So outside of school, this is the scene you guys alluded to. Paige, Hazel, Terry, they're talking about some television commercial or ad. And we see that Ashley's actually there, like sitting on the stoop, and doesn't know this ad. And the girls say, we're gonna bring you back into the loop, all of that. But they also say, what happened? Like Paige makes a comment, the goth thing was kind of working for you. Like, why did you change? So like, even her friends are kind of like, no one had a problem with how she was dressing. Like she just wasn't able to own it herself, I guess.
I wonder, like, when Paige asks her that, I wonder if she becomes in like, okay, so Ashley never blames herself. She always blames someone else. And so for her, I wonder if she, well, first things first, it's obvious that she was feeling insecure. But I wonder if like she, it's like when you do something that you know you're wrong and like you can't really tell your friends because you're like, I know I'm the person that's at fault here. So when they ask her like, why are you doing this? She kind of like is like, I have to go. And it's like, is it because you know that you're doing this for a guy and you know that this is stupid, but you don't want to tell anyone because it's not his fault. You've chose to do this. So
on your own. Yeah, he would be lying if she's like,
I'm the problem, it's me.
Yeah. She would be lying if she was like, oh, Jimmy asked me to do this. Like, so she just left.
Yeah. And if Terry had done this for a guy, she would have like pulled her off and been like, what the hell are you doing? So it's just funny that she doesn't share because she knows that she wouldn't allow this for anyone else. So
yeah. Yeah. She would never like make that room for any of her friends to do something like this. So but yeah, she leaves when they kind of ask her about it. She meets Craig in the woods and they're like rehearsing their lines. And she like, while they're rehearsing their scene, which is supposed to be like a version of that scene that shows how abusive the relationship is, she stops and says, maybe Petruchio, I think that's the name. Maybe what he's doing about changing Kate is out of love. And Craig is like, first of all, confused, like, bitch, this is not what we decided to do. So why are we changing it up? Second, he's like, if he loved her, he wouldn't want to change her, even it, without the abuse element. Like, he's still a jerk. Yeah, whatever. Craig gets it.
He doesn't love her. Like, I really want, like, these kids to read the fucking play. Mm-hmm. Joe doesn't love her. He was paid to marry her so that someone else could marry her sister. Like, there was never any real love there. And then he's like, since I'm married to this bitch, I'm gonna make her the kind of wife I want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Control.
Do your fucking homework, kids.
But everyone thinks that, you know, everyone thinks that they're doing like a thing, they're doing a scene with two people, it's couples with, they're getting married, so it must be a love thing. That's a kid thing to think, I think. It's like a very
Well, it's just fun. I think it's just like, I mean, again, this is Ashley like trying to not address the issue at hand. For her to all of a sudden pause and say, maybe this is the case, when she was so adamant at the beginning of this assignment that this is an abusive relationship, she kind of just, you know, whatever, throws her own arguments out the window. And Craig is the only one to be like, no, this is a toxic relationship, you know, regardless of what his reasons are.
It's her fault for making the core metaphor to Jimmy, really. So
yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny. Yeah, it's kind of funny how she starts trying to think for herself about it, and Craig is like, no, this is what it is. This is what we've agreed on. This is it. And even if it wasn't this, it's this. And she's like, okay, you're right. It's
no just take backs.
Yes, Daddy.
How she was when they changed the music of PMS. Look at her changing the whole play.
Where's that girl?
So back at school, and we're almost done with this fucking plot. Toby's standing by his locker and Spinner grabs him and he's like, oh God, he thought he avoided this. And he explains to Spinner, he's not planning on having sex with Kendra, but he just wanted to make sure he was prepared if they were going that route. And then Spinner drags him into a classroom where JT is tied up with the glow in the dark condoms. And then they turn off the lights so that JT is a glow worm, essentially.
Just like his penis.
Yeah. And that is the end of that stupid plot that really taught us nothing.
You know, Toby's such a shitbag.
Still don't really understand how JT deserved this.
Yeah. And I felt like it was weird in a way, like, because even though he's an idiot and that, like, no one's going to sleep with them, overall the message was a good one. It's like, be prepared, have that shit on you
for the very slim chance that someone will sleep with you guys.
Also, I feel like at that age it's like exciting, I got condoms, like it's like a new stage of being more grown up, I think, especially for boys, I guess. I don't know, I'm not a boy.
Toby graduated a virgin, right?
I don't know. Yeah. He never told me.
I think we talked about this, and it's a yes.
Okay.
He died.
So. Reno knows the scoop.
Yeah. Well, ever since Toby joined the Red Pill Society or whatever it is, so it's really hard for him to find a girl.
Yeah.
He's on Reddit. We just got to ask him.
Yeah, he's a high-ranking member.
4chan, more like Toby Chan.
Oh, yeah, because he's such a hacker.
Yeah.
God, with these fucking horrible things that he does, like every single time Toby like designs something, it looks like shit.
Toby asks or whatever it is, like search for Toby, and then he searches for tortoises or whatever.
Toby tracks.
There you go. Toby tracks. Not Toby asks.
Minor tangent, that thing that when they're in media immersion and Spinner's like hiding behind a computer and like punches off JT's head, who made that? Because that is above Spinner's ability. That's definitely a Toby thing. I don't believe Spinner made that thing of JT getting decapitated. And
also the screensavers,
that was weird. Also, I'm gonna assume it was Marco because he was valedictorian.
I'll take that. Yeah. I'll take that over any of the other.
Yeah,
Marco's like, I hate Toby too, I'll help. I will never have a scene with him. Haven't, yeah, never and never will. To him.
Yeah.
But he's Toby.
That's by choice. Yeah.
Knock his block off.
So we're in Miss Kwan's class. The time has arrived. They're presenting their scene. We see Jimmy and Hazel's, take on it. And it's like a very lighthearted, Jimmy's a jock, Hazel's a cheerleader version of this scene. And everyone laughs and everyone says, like, very entertaining, blah, blah, blah. Then Craig and Ashley get on stage. And we see Craig put on some glasses. And all of a sudden, we got a lot of issues to unpack because he looks exactly like Albert Manning now. So
yeah, he does.
He goes into this abusive version of the scene dressed like his dad. So again, Craig needs more therapy.
Yeah, like, he didn't need to wear those glasses.
But... yeah, where, why? Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, this is basically him reenacting the reasons that Julia left.
Mm-hmm.
Once he put them on, he morphed. He was like...
yeah, he got really into character.
Mm-hmm. Some people, all it takes is a costume piece, and they're like, I didn't feel this throughout the entirety of rehearsal, but now that I'm at dress, it really sinking in.
I'm not going to lie. That's me.
Yeah. So Miss Kwan is like, that's intense. Explain your take on it. And Ashley explains that they don't see it as a comedy. They see it as breaking a person. And she makes eye contact with Jimmy right as she says that. And then he looks down because I guess we're supposed to take home the message that Jimmy broke Ashley's spirit, even though he did nothing this episode. Like, he's just given her one word answers to everything. So the episode ends with goth Ashley again. She's back to goth. She approaches Jimmy, hands him a yearbook, and her parting gift is a shitty poem. So, like, after all of this, I guess this is a breakup poem, but it's a shitty breakup poem. And the episode ends with Ashley crying, which is my favorite.
Yeah. But a breakup poem that's now in your yearbook forever. I'm like, why would you put
that? Dick move.
I would put a sticker on it. I'd be like, joke's on you. I'm putting this stupid sticker on it.
She should have done it on like a damn little post-it note.
Yeah, she's an idiot.
Also, don't give him a poem. Just be like, hey, we're done. Like,
yeah, I don't think I would have understood from that poem that we were breaking up. Like,
no, because you were, you were just serenading me.
She's like, backwards. Like, all right.
Yeah, like she's being so dramatic, like walking backwards as she starts reciting the poem as he reads it, and then says, "Love always, Ashley."
And then I am an artist.
Yeah,
I can only convey my emotions through art, and it's so much wordplay and pain. Oh.
She was literally just singing a song about how our hearts were on fire and broken and bonded back together. Like, and it sounded like you said a funeral dirge. So at this point, I don't know where we stand. What are you trying to say? Do you love me? Like, where are we right now? Doesn't make sense. It was a bluff.
I just imagine like she did this and she's walking away and she's crying and like camera's cut off, but Jimmy's just like, the fuck?
Yeah.
So am I coming over for dinner later?
I'll see you tonight. What's Kate making?
Kate's making wings, right?
Thanks.
Like, y'all got leftover mediocre crap dinner?
But yeah, that's how the episode ends. So of course, now we have to discuss who the Claire is.
To be freaking kidding me. Do you flick a switch and erase me from your memory?
Well, excuse me for having loftier ambitions than just some pedestrian high school assignment.
What are you doing here?
Ashley.
100%.
Ashley. Fucking Kerwin.
Ashley.
Yeah. There's really no debate.
Ashley.
Because, like, Toby was shitty too, but Ashley's always the shittiest. Mm-hmm. So.
The thing was, even though the Toby plotline was shitty, Toby actually wasn't shitty.
I thought JT was annoying as fuck.
Yeah, I didn't like Toby. Mm-hmm. Well, I still don't understand why, like, whenever Toby, like, kind of finds himself in, like, a bad situation, like, somehow JT is the one who gets, like, punished for it. But I'm like, I don't really know. Like, when they had the locker thing and he cut JT's sweater, and then, like, JT getting tied up by Spinner, and I'm like, JT didn't do anything to Kendra or to anyone. Yeah. So I just don't know why, like, Toby is still laughing at JT. Like, he's always he's always laughing and making fun of JT himself. And I was like, dude, he's your only friend. Like, maybe be nicer to you. Like, he's not going to be your friend in a season.
No, but like, I mean, that's something you don't laugh at. It's embarrassing for your friend. You gotta be the one person to help him out of that.
This is foreshadowing for what he does once JT dies. It's just, was he his friend?
Yeah.
He just
oh my god, JT dies? Spoiler alert.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He just didn't want to graduate being a virgin, but he still did.
Little did we know. What if Toby was secretly getting pussed like all the time?
There's no way.
I can't keep a straight face.
There's absolutely no way.
Can't even like imagine that scenario.
He would. Let's be real. He would not have kept it a secret. Mm-hmm. He would have told everyone.
Yeah.
But like, okay, correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe this is a fever dream. Didn't Holly J have a crush on Toby?
No.
No.
Oh my god. Okay. Yeah, I think there is that. I think there was that plot for some reason.
Did they go? They didn't go out or anything, right?
No, because he didn't like her back. Like, oh my god! The one girl who liked him, he didn't like her back.
They developed mutual crushes on each other during season 7. Oh, that actress must have been like, oh no.
So Toby also liked Holly J?
According to Degrassi.fandom, they are Tali J. Yeah.
Did they go out?
I don't think they came out, but it said they developed mutual crushes on each other. That's horrible.
Ugh.
I want to vomit. I used to respect Holly J so much.
Yeah, so
how the mighty
whatever fall. She was just she was going through it. Her kidneys weren't well. I'm just gonna blame it. She was unwell. I'm gonna blame it on that.
That's true. You know what? That's probably when that shit started.
Mm-hmm. She's not crazy. She's just a little unwell.
Holly J. That's actually really cute. I'm just a little unwell.
So it's Ashley.
Yes,
Ashley.
No, it's Ashley.
Maybe that's a weird close second for Miss Kwan for not understanding the fucking play she was assigning them, but that's all good.
Oh, I mean,
was Kwan actually like? Was she one of those English teachers who was roped into teaching theater because they didn't have a theater teacher? And she's like, this is part of the curriculum.
Yeah.
They always do that.
They section curriculum.
I also hated.
Oh, sorry. You go.
I was just going to say, I also hated how she stood up and gave a standing ovation to Aubrey. What's his name? Jimmy. I almost said Drake. to Jimmy and Hazel when they were like doing their like L-O-V-E love, she did a standing ovation, like she was super proud of them, and I was like, what for? That's when I knew you're not a theater teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I knew
also that. Also, this is like, this is act two of an act five play, of a five act play. Like there's she's not even tamed yet.
Yeah,
and what's really, I need to get off of my theater soapbox. What's really interesting is, like, I've seen a couple of interpretations, but at the very end, after he's basically beat her into submission, then they take a line from a completely different play. And at the end, he's always like, to thine own self be true, which is Hamlet. Oh. And it's like, why are you trying to say that this is who she was the entire time? Are you trying to basically negate the fact that, again, you beat this woman into submission?
Like, mm-hmm. It's like brainwashing. Like, this is who you are, and you need to be true to who you are, because this is who you are now, bitch.
This is who you are now. This is who you are. Be true to yourself.
Rewriting history and shit. Well,
what I noticed on this rewatch that I found interesting is that for an episode that's supposedly about, like, Jimmy breaking or changing Ashley, she's the one who was trying to force him to be, like, more opinionated and outspoken the entire episode, which is not his personality. Yeah, so, like, if anyone was trying to change someone, it really seemed like Ashley was trying to change Jimmy.
So Jimmy's
the shit. Shrew. Jimmy is the shrew.
Jimmy's the fucking shrew.
Ashley's the Claire. Jimmy's the shrew.
She's like, I just find it interesting how you never have any opinions, damn it.
Yeah, and I was just like, he's just not one of those kids who, like, but first of all, he's not going to debate with your parents. He's about not one of those kids. He's not Emma Nelson.
Yeah,
so I felt like she was trying to kind of change him to be more like her, you know, like someone always trying to speak up about some issue, blah blah blah.
Water's great over here, man. Fuck her.
Yeah, fuck Ashley.
I did want to shout out the lady who worked at the pharmacy who rang out Toby and JT. I feel like you did not mention her, and her faces were good.
Yeah, she was very uncomfortable with the whole thing, and then JT had the nerve to ask her for her number.
I mean, like how she was like talking to her boo on the phone too. She's like, all right, babe, like I'll talk to you later.
Like, now I have all these dweebs. She's
buying 50 condoms. So that's it. If anyone wants to do the socials that I always mess up.
Yes. Sorry. Do you want to do it, Natasha? I can do it. Okay, you can find us on Instagram at LaughShiftPod. You can find us on Twitter at LaughShiftPod. You can find us on, you can actually send us an email at LaughShiftAtTheDot@gmail.com. You can find us on the internet at LaughShiftAtTheDot.com or LSATD.com. And please, if you would like to send a review, as long as it's positive, send it to Stitcher, Apple TV, Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
All of them.
Give us money for wings. Give us money for alcohol.
MeUndies, we're still waiting for our sponsorship.
Yes, we're still waiting for our sponsorship, but it's going to be here soon. But maybe if you have a business you'd like to promote, we'll do that.
And hopefully you sell liquor, because that's our favorite potential sponsor. So on that note, from us at the Dot to you out in Degrassi land, aka Toronto, we know you can make it through. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.